Okay, Exodus chapter 20, that's where we're going. And did you ever think we would get to the 10th commandment? Well, tonight's the night that we start. So let's go ahead and look at this one. It's Exodus chapter 20, verse 17. Let's go ahead and read that together, please. We're in Exodus 20, verse number 17. That's the verse. Let's go ahead and read that out loud. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. So that is the command there. That's the final in the 10. And as we consider this command, we want to look at the difference between covetousness and contentment. One, they are opposite of each other. Here it refers to what not to do with covetousness. The rest of Scripture we can look at and find that contentment is the answer to covetousness in order to replace that with. We want to look at tonight, starting tonight, the right contentment, the right contentment. Let's go ahead and turn to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, we'll be there in a little bit as well, but we want to start there. And see that this is this idea of covetousness, since man began, since God created him, covetousness has been part of life. Covetous means this. This is the sentence here. It is lust for what is not our own. It is lust for what is not our own. Ephesians 5 and verse 5 says this, "For this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God." And there's more to the list before that, but they're on the list of the behavior of an unsaved individual. And we'll look at that more closely here in just a minute. But certainly God does not want it in our life at all. Colossians chapter 3, let's go there. Very next book. I'm sorry, two books away. Colossians chapter 3. Let's take a look at verse number 5. And verse number 5 says this, "Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth." What does mortify mean? Put to death. Put to death, as if it's not even able to breathe. "Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness," again, here it says, "which is idolatry." And that's repeated, that phrase or theme on covetousness is repeated. Covetousness, it's lust for what is not our own. Why would idolatry be a part of, or I should say, idolatry includes covetousness? Why would that be? What do you think? You're worshiping something other than God, definitely.
That you shouldn't worship.
That you shouldn't worship, yeah. But am I worshiping something when I want it? Is that really the same thing as worshiping? Worship to me would be, you know, giving honor and glory to and so forth. Is that what we're doing when we're coveting? Yeah, we're replacing what God has set up for his people, and that is himself as the provider for things. So we're gonna keep that in mind. You know, how does those two work in the scriptures? The Bible says that one who's coveting is also an idolater, Now, let me ask you, have you ever coveted something? Have you ever wanted something that's not yours? That you didn't deserve, that wasn't supposed to be yours, etc. I'm not going to ask for a show of hands, but by everybody's face, I would guess we all have done that. We all have done that. What's the difference between wanting something and working for something that you need? Well, we're going to look at that as we go along as well. So covetousness, it means lust for what is not our own. Contentment, however, the opposite of covetousness, is having and being sufficient. Sufficient, that's the blank. Having and being sufficient. I don't rely on anything else to get through my day. I have what God has given me today, and that is sufficient. In fact, it's the Bible talks about contentment as being a place of peace. Contentment is a place where there's not anxiety, just like the song we sang. There's no anxiety when things are sufficient. So let's take a look at this. Before we do, let's pray. We'll ask God to help us, and then we'll dive into the Bible. Heavenly Father, thank you for your love for us and care for us. Thank you, Lord, that your provisions are not just enough, they are more than enough. Help us to recognize that, dear Lord, and see how can we do that on a regular basis. Even today, perhaps we haven't, or something we haven't done to honor you in that way. And we ask God, even now, would you show us? Pray your Holy Spirit would have freedom. Thank you for Christ, Lord, who is sufficient to pay for our eternal price for sin, but also our daily price, Lord. That blood is good today, too. And we ask, Father, for your help as we consider this subject. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Number one, let's go to Hebrews chapter 13. This is a verse my wife was quoting, or almost about to quote, I think. Hebrews chapter 13, take a look, verse number 5, verse number 6. Here we go. All right. Hebrews 13, verse 5, verse 6. Here's what the Bible says. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. For he has said, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Number one, as we consider this command, the right contentment, number one, accept that God's plan is good. Accept that God's plan is good. It is not a means of punishment. It is not a means of trial or tribulation. It is a means of goodness. Now, in God's plan, will there be tribulations? How many have ever read the book of James? That's how he starts. You know, that's how we, you know, through tribulation, we learn patience, and through patience, etc., and eventually hope in the Lord and what he provides. So tribulation and testing and so forth, that happens even in God's good plan in this life. Let's consider this. Let's go to Ephesians 5 again. We were there just a bit ago, and we're going to look at some of the other verses around it. Ephesians chapter 5, we'll start with verse number 1 and look at that passage there. And let's do read this responsive, please. I'll read verse 1, if you'd read verse 2, back and forth. Verse 5, that's where we stop. I'll begin with verse number 1. Be ye therefore followers of God, as dear children. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you, as becometh saints. For this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let's share this thought. Letter A here. Covetousness. It rejects God's plan and provision for life. Verses 1 through 3 talks about the Christian life and its reflection of Jesus Christ. He says, be followers of God as dear children, walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us, etc. Coveting, number one, discredits the Christian life. He says in verse number 3, fornication and all uncleanness, covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints. In the sense of this is who we are. This is the way we live. This is the way God has planned for us. And it's the best way. Amen. It's the best way. But when we seek out something that doesn't belong to us, nor should it be in our possession, God says, that's not living like a Christian should. Coveting discredits the Christian life, and the Christian life is based on who Jesus is. It's his name that we're bringing shame to if we allow covetousness to enter in and stay there. This life is just not enough. I just don't get that. I don't have this. And whatever it is, whether it's possessions or people or future or past, I didn't grow up the way I wish I would have, etc. God says, listen, I have a plan for you. If you follow it, good things will come in your life. Not without testing, but for my glory and your good. Coveting discredits the Christian life. Verse number 4 tells us that thankfulness is absent from the covetousness. Look at this. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. So he says, instead of all these other things, the things that would be cutting, filthiness that is looking for something that is immoral, foolish talking, things that have no point and aren't helpful to either one, jesting, insulting, etc., trying to be critical of others, etc., which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. Giving of thanks. How many have had a prayer where all you did was you thank God? You just thank God. I wish we should do that every day, amen? And you think, well, I just thanked him for that yesterday. Well, guess what? He still gave it to you today, amen? To be thankful for the things and the people, and the people. Wow, sometimes, what's the old saying? You don't know what you got until it's gone. You don't know what you got until it's gone. And be thankful today. Not that we're not thankful for certain things, but God says, consider what I give you and be thankful, because the covetousness do not thank the Lord. He says, rather giving of thanks. Number 3, verse 5 tells us that covetousness does not count God as worthy. For this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Idolatry looks at God and says, the God of the Bible, and says, he's not enough. Whatever he says he's doing, that's not enough. Or he's not the God that I was taught about. He's not the God to me. So I'm going to find something else. Could be, again, people, could be things, could be some philosophy, some teaching. I'm going to pursue that. Man, anything, it seems like the flesh can lust after anything. when we hear the word lust, we tend to think of sexual sins, but truthfully, the flesh can want anything that God doesn't want for us. And we need to consider, are we looking that direction? Covetousness, it rejects God's plan and provision for life. Secondly, let her be here. Now we're going to go to Philippians 4. Let's go there. Philippians chapter 4. So that's covetousness. What about contentment? What about contentment? And Philippians 4 is the chapter of contentment. Gives us a great list of things to consider, to desire the things of God. But here in verse number 11, verse 11, 12, and 13 is what we want to focus on right now in regards to contentment. He says this, not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and suffer need. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. So number one here, as we consider, contentment is possible during every stage of life, every stage. Here's our father-in-law, he's in the hospital right now. You've had people or friends that have been in the hospital. Sometimes it turns out great, sometimes it turns differently than we'd like to. But contentment is still possible, even at this time when the outlook doesn't always look the way we want it to. Take a look at this, verse number 11. He says, not that I speak in respect of want, for I have what?
Learned.
Contentment is learned, that's the blank, contentment is learned behavior. Contentment is learned behavior. How do you know a young person is being taught manners? How do you know that a kid is being taught manners? When they say, please and thank you. When they say that, they're respectful, they're honoring, etc. You say, boy, their parents must be doing a pretty good job. So if our kids don't do that, you come and let me know. All right, I want to make sure they're learning, because we do tell them. And here's why, because none of us do that naturally. In fact, we don't thank God naturally. We have to purposely do it. Amen. We have to purposely do it. Please and thank you are simple things, but yet God tells us that contentment is something that has to be learned as well. It's not natural. So if you think, well, I've gotten saved, and once everything turns out great, that's when contentment's going to enter my life. That's not when it enters your life. It enters your life when you decide, I'm going to be thankful to the Lord. I'm going to please the Lord, etc. These are the things that God has for a growing Christian. He says, I've learned it. I've learned it. Now, how many would like to learn how Paul learned? You know how he learned? Jail, beatings. Remember, the Bible talks about when he was stoned, left for dead, and I believe personally that God raised him that day, raised him, and they walked out of the city, etc. He learned ways that we would rather not, but God certainly has some things to learn for us, contentment to learn every Christian. Number one, contentment is learned behavior. It is not normal. Number two, I can be content in storms and sunshine. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. I heard a message a long time ago about this particular verse, and the title of the message was The 51st State. The 51st State. I thought that was a neat title to that. His point was, we need to live in that state of contentment regularly. You know, wherever you're from, contentment is a place the Christian needs to be during storms and during the sunshine. Number three, I can be content when I am reduced. When I am reduced. Take a look at verse number 12. This is one that we all would like to avoid too. I know both how to be abased. Abased. Abased means simply to be made low. Made low. Literally to be even with the ground. So what's even with the ground? Dirt. What do you have if you're even with the ground? Nothing. You have nothing. There's nothing to your name. There's nothing to your possessions. And I'm finishing up the book of Job in my devotions right now, and I'm here to tell you, it's hard to keep track of who said what, you know, the Temanite or this guy, or Job said this guy. But one thing that I try to keep in mind is, remember, Job, when he was sitting there talking about these things, it was all gone. It was all gone. The only thing he had left was his wife, and she was a real peach, sounds like. But man, that man was abased. Everything was allowed to be taken from him. And yet, God in his grace helped him get through. But that's the idea, reduced. You have nothing left. I can be content when I am reduced. Then the next phrase puts it this way. I know how to abound. Abound. This is the exact opposite. I can be content when I have more than normal. More than normal. That's the abundance. That's the idea. Abundance, abounding, etc. When things are extra good. Wow. How many have days like that? We all do. We all have days like that. Yeah. When things, the unexpected blessings. Thank you, Lord. Wow. We're ready to thank the Lord for that. It's the abasements that we're not ready to thank the Lord for. Lord, thanks for taking everything from the stock market from me. Appreciate that. Thanks, Lord, that all four tires went flat on the car or whatever. Or thanks, Lord, for this or that. Not thankful for the bad things necessarily, but thankful for an opportunity to live for the Lord. I guess that's the way he wants us to see it, that we can rejoice in the Lord always. But be content. Be content when things are more than normal. And number five, verse 13 tells us our degree of contentment is equal to our degree of surrender, that's the blank, surrender and trust in the strength of Jesus. The strength of Jesus. Notice what it says. I can do all things through Christ. What's the last phrase? Which strengtheneth me. Let me ask you, how strong is the Lord Jesus? You know anybody who died and raised themselves up from the dead? Man, that takes strength. That takes supernatural strength. That's the Jesus he wants us to trust in. That's what he's saying. Contentment is possible when we surrender to him, not to anything else or anyone else, but to him and his strength. Where's your degree of contentment today? Is it equal to the Lord Jesus and his strength, or is there something off balance there tonight? Accept God's plan that it is good. It is good. We're going to talk some more about this next week, Lord willing. But let's go ahead and find a partner and pray and ask God to help us to be